Good morning, good morning, good morning, listening audience. We're on the Jay Wright Show. It's 0900 AM. You guys know what time it is. We're live in studio. Thank you for joining in this morning. It's always a pleasure to come on Sunday mornings and have an opportunity to have this conversation with you and dialogue. It's that time. Sunday morning. Got some good guests. I'm going to bring on to you this morning, of course. That's what we do. We're going to make sure that we do all we're supposed to do in this effort to maintain the Jay Wright Show, to give you good information. As always, I want to thank Joe in the studios doing the producing. So when you call in to be a part of this talk show platform, you make sure you be nice to Joe, and he might be nice to you. So 843-308-9564 is the number. Immediately, let's always make sure you are aware that on Saturdays from 1 to 2, the David Mack Show airs. You should listen in as well. Then, and of course, my sponsors, you can go to my Facebook page and you can see more information about my sponsors and how to get in touch with them. Ask You Paint and Body Shop, Dorothy's Funeral Home, F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport, VIP Bistro, Gyrus Place in Charlotte, North Carolina, Johnson Hall Funeral Home, Hannibal's Kitchen, Family Seafood Market, Check Masters, Check Casting Spot, and Finance Needs there. And also, I want to thank The Chronicle, a new supporting sponsor. It's the Black Press that we have here locally. It's been around since 71. I want to thank them and make sure you support the Chronicle. They support the community. Of course, this morning I'm gonna jump right in. I was doing some, that's required. It's called show prep. Yes, I do prepare before I come on these airwaves to bring you information. I do my job and my due diligence to reach out to the guests and get the guests on that you hear weekly. I guess if I want to kind of coin this thing, I want to coin it as my Sunday morning sermon for social and civic engagement on WJNI 106.3, the gospel station. So, but also in this engagement, it's you, the listening audience, that's a part of this. So you call up and we have these conversations. I put information out there and you call up and we talk about it. I want to mention a real quick. I want to go out to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I want to got a text from a good friend of mine, T-Ball. His daughter, he had a heart attack, but he is recovering. Terrence Ball and I go back to 1998 and in Germany. He's been following me for years and visited me a couple years ago. And if you were a listening audience at the time, Terrence Ball brought us the information from the ground during the Jacob Blake shooting back when it happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He called us and gave us what I would consider as an eyeball view from the grounds of Kenosha, indicating that Kenosha was only about three blocks long. And uniquely, there's a lot of cities out in the Midwest like Kenosha that's only about 3 to 4 miles where they each have their own separate police departments. But of course, he's getting better, and I wish him well, and hopefully we'll get him on the air at some point, and you guys keep him in your thoughts. I want to immediately ask a question today, and as we relate to some of the current events, the things that are happening, I can't help but wonder and question a few things. Number one is, in particular in Georgia, what's going on in Georgia? You have a mayor that's in Georgia that's completely, at this point, I think, she may be a former mayor, but she's down there just building a swimming pool in her backyard and paying off principal on her mortgage, all with PPE money. How do you feel about that? 843-308-9564. How do you feel? That's a former mayor candidate now. So these are the things that they're doing, and she was very strategic in doing it. You should look the story up. But making claims about employees she didn't have, so on and so forth. These are the things that we're going to now hear coming out about all the monies that was that's been distributed as it relates to PPEs and other loans during this pandemic. So just follow that, and I think it's important that you do. You know, I want to make sure I mention something to you as well that I find very, very, very important. Is there's a new House Bill 99 that's coming out, and it's giving teachers in it. It allows teachers to have guns in schools, and it's called it's called the Secure Communities and Safe School Act. Look it up, House Bill 99. How do you feel about teachers having guns in schools? Give me a call, 843-308-9564. I want to hear your thoughts on that. That bill is in Congress currently, and it's going to do just that. It's going to allow teachers to be armed. So that's a part of the bill. So you pay attention to it, and then we'll have the conversation about your thoughts on that. I want to also ask you, the listening audience, the shooting in Atlanta, it happened. So we're talking about it. My thoughts and opinions on this issue, and I'd like to hear yours. If your reasoning for killing those victims had anything to do with sexual addiction, my question to you, the listening audience, or my question in general would be, how did they pose a threat to you 4 hours away? 4 hours from Woodstock, Georgia to Atlanta, Georgia? How did they pose a threat to you as of sexual addiction? But then that four-hour drive, you came across a lot of women. You could have possibly come across a lot of women, which could have been had more severe consequences. But nonetheless, how did 4 hours away pose a threat? My question, and you tell me if I'm either right, wrong, or your thoughts around it, did it have more to do with the fact that Atlanta has been in the national spotlight? The last several months, voter turnout, Stacey Abrams, the request to suppress thousands of voters to overturn the election, just ongoing issues coming out of Atlanta. So I have to wonder if that had not been the case, Atlanta had not been in the spotlight, then maybe would he not go to Atlanta? If he lived in South Carolina and got the death penalty, he could be facing that new bill that we have on the table, and that's called the firing squad. So how many people in Woodstock, Georgia were aware of his thoughts? You'll remember Dylann Roof. You guys remember him? The little South Carolina domestic terrorist that drove 2 hours to that church on Calhoun Street, downtown Charleston. How many churches did he pass? And let's hope Dylann Roof becomes the first to meet our public, which I hope is public, firing squad. Do you all agree? Do you agree with me? So here we are. We got that issue that's going on down there in Georgia. And I guess my question would be, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on that? We've got to look at these issues, and because they are important enough to look at, and they're being discussed. So if they're being discussed, then I want to hear what you think about them. Now, that's 4 hour drive, then there's that 2 hour drive. During that time, there's a lot of time to give consideration to where you're going, what you're doing, and why you're doing it. And so we need to wear it. We need to know, just like with that little domestic terrorist, Dylann Roof. There were people where he lived that knew what his thoughts was. So I like to believe that that there were just as many people in Woodstock that was aware of what that young men ideas and his mentality and his thoughts was. What do you think? It's hard to believe that that national attention that's around Atlanta did not play a part in it. I got a caller. I want to jump right in. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Rice Show. Reverend Pollock.
Pollock. That's K-O-L-L-O-C-K. Good morning, Brother Wright.
Good morning, sir. It is a pleasure to have you on with me. I'm not going to hold you because I know you're trying to get into that sermon this morning. So I appreciate having you on the line with me on WJNI 106.3, the Jay Rice Show, and our millions of listening audience. I want to thank you, sir, for the time. I want to share with my listening audience so they can be aware of an event that you have coming up on March 25th. Kind of give us an idea about it, sir.
Okay. The 7th Episcopal District of the African Methodist Episcopal Church is partnering with Walgreens for the COVID-19 vaccinations. It will be Thursday, March the 25th, from the hours of 9 to 5 p.m. It'll be on our site at Greater Goodwill. That's 2818 Highway 17 North, Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, 29466. Is there any other information you want me to share with you, or you got any questions that you might want me to answer?
Well, Reverend Pollock, can you give the phone number at the church where they might can reach to for additional questions or concerns? And okay. And I want to thank you because I think you are, in fact, the first AME church east of the Cooper that our whole site. And if I'm correct, you know, will this be happening in your I don't know if you call it a gym or in
Family Life Center.
The Family Life Center room. Right, right. Big spacious area for social distance and everything. It's very nice. Is that where this event will be happening at?
We'll be doing a walkthrough tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, and we will be situating how we will be able to serve the people when they come.
Outstanding.
Okay. You can contact us at 843-884-0903. That's the church's phone number. Our website is www.ame7.church/COVID-19, or you can contact Greater Goodwilla, and that's Greater Goodwilla with an A at the end, at bellsouth.net. You'll probably need, if you can go on that website for the 7th Episcopal District, you'll find a record form that you can have already filled out that would expedite the time or your time when you come to get your shot. Again, if there's any other thing that you want me to answer, I'll try my best to do it for you.
Sir, valuable, extremely valuable, important information during a critical time. I want to thank you for that, and I want to thank you for being a host site for this event. Is open to the public, correct?
It is.
Outstanding.
If there are special needs individuals, we'll try to get them in first, wheelchairs, so forth and so on like that. But we will try. It will be lines. I can tell you that the doors will open at 9. But those individuals, if you know how it is, you want to try to get there as soon as you can. We will have a system put in place to be able to accommodate the people.
Outstanding, Pastor. I appreciate what you're doing. The people appreciate that. And so March 25th, you guys pay attention. I'll put more information on my Facebook page, the Jay Rice Show, to direct the people to make sure they're a part of that. Thank you so much, sir, for taking time out and coming on this morning to share it with us. It's valuable and very important, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
God bless you. Have a great day.
All right, sir. Take care.
Be blessed.
All right. That's all right. You heard it. They're hosting that site. And now let's be mindful. You know, there is a lot of vaccination sites that are being hosted aside from that site. But, you know, when the reach out came to me, I thought, hey, by all means, let's get them on. Let's talk about that, because we know that we're on WJNI 106.3. this is a gospel station. So this is a gospel community. So if it's happening at any church, then we're hoping that that's a good step in the right direction. So I thank Greater Goodwill, and I thank all the other churches, not to name them all, that are hosting these vaccination sites. I want to make sure I put it out there that I got mine this week, and I'm here to talk about it. So don't have no fear. Moving right along, going to jump right in on to my next guest. Good morning, Julie Armstrong. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Wright Show.
Thank you, Mr. Jay Wright. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning, and thank you for the opportunity to be on your very popular show.
Well, thank you for taking time to come on the show this morning. I've been stalking you ever since you won that election in November, and I said, I'm going to get her on my show, and I'm going to call everybody I know in town that knows her and say, call her, tell her that I want her on the Jay Wright Show. But what better way to do it than to bring you on, not only to congratulate you on your last election to clerk of courts, but also to celebrate Women's History Month, because you've made history. Let's talk about Julie Armstrong and the clerk of courts and that first woman elected to that position.
That's right, in the history of Charleston County, and it's been my pleasure to serve for the past 28 years for the citizens of Charleston, and they have been very kind to entrust me with the records of the courthouse. Here in Charleston.
That's good. That's good. That's very good. And why is your office important to the community?
Well, first and foremost, as I said, we're entrusted by the citizens of Charleston County as the neutral party to maintain some of the most important records that will affect their life. So as the record keeper, we are charged with keeping accurate and accessible records. We have over 35,000 cases. And, you know, when you come to court, most of our citizens, they're brought to court by reasons beyond their control. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you might be a victim. Sometimes you might have been charged with a crime. You might be seeking a divorce, or it could be child custody issues, property right issues. So it is our job to maintain those records as a record keeper. Also, we are the gatekeeper for the courthouse. We have a historical courthouse and our judicial complex. Mm-hmm. So we're in charge of running those 16 courtrooms and getting court scheduled and moving forward. And also, we are the bookkeeper for the Charleston County Courthouse. Mm. So we book anywhere from $36 to $42 million through that courts, through family, criminal, and civil courts. Those are the three that we keep the records for. It's important to the community to have accurate records.
Yes, it's very valuable. And the court, the clerk of court's office is open. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right.
We have been open the entire time during the pandemic.
Okay.
I'd love to give a shout out to my staff. They've done a tremendous job keeping the courts open. We have not had jury trials, but we have had in-person trials because we have people that have come in that need immediate attention from the courts with domestic violence and abuse and neglect and so forth. So we have kept those hearings going in person with our terrific team of judges down at the Charleston County Courthouse.
Is there any plans to move forward? That won't change, or it'll open up more, I'm assuming.
Well, as you know, it's becoming very fluid as we all get our shot.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm glad to hear you talking about the vaccination. My staff had just gotten the green light from Charleston County to be able to access shots. So we planned in the next 30 days to offer it to everyone in our courts to get their shots, and then we will be opening the courthouse for juries April 19th. We're going to start with the grand jury, and we'll move forward from there, and in May we'll start our criminal and civil trials, if not sooner, depending on how the numbers and the COVID shots, you know, go for the employees and the public as well. Because we want, when we summon 14,000 jurors a year, and when they come to the courthouse, we want them to have that opportunity to have the shot if they would like it and come and serve the citizen.
You know, that's very, very valuable and a very important question that was asked to me when, of course, once I post that you were going to be on my show on Sunday on the Jay Wright Show Facebook page, the questions came. I started getting them. Ask her this. Ask her this. But, you know, I don't know that a lot of people understand that you guys are the one that summons jurors for jury duty?
We do. We summons, like I said, 14,000 jurors, and we ask them to really offer their services to the community and help guide justice. Mm-hmm. So that is very important. And again, it goes back to the accurate record keeping to present the cases to these jurors so they have all the information that we can legally provide them to make decisions on very important cases in civil and criminal court.
That's right. And that's a civic duty.
It is. It is. I think it's probably second to service to this country in the military. And thank you for your service to our country.
Thank you, ma'am.
In that capacity.
Yes.
We thank you for that. Although I must say jury duty is a lot shorter than the military service.
Well, so how important is access to records? And what have you done to make it that much easier for the community? Because, you know, access... The records speak for themselves, which helps you, helps lead and guide you to wherever you're going to go. So have you made that easier, and what are the plans there?
We think we have. And in my mind, access is everything. Mm-hmm. If people are going to make an informed decision, you have to give them the most information and then let them decide based on what the information is. I don't believe in feeding the people just what you think they need to hear or I think they need to hear. I believe in putting it out there and letting them go through that information and make their own decisions. So we started many years ago with being online instead of in line. And so we have led and blazed the trails throughout South Carolina and gotten federal recognition as well for all the technology that we've put out there, because we want to foster the trust and transparency of the courts, because that's a hallmark of the courts. They need to be open. People need to have the confidence and trust, and they need to feel like there's transparency. So we've gone on to put images online because not everyone can get access to the courthouse. We're not always conveniently located for everyone. So those that don't want to conduct business in person can do it online with us. And we started this web application called courtplus.org, and it's been a phenomenal thing. You can track cases in Charleston County for free. There's no cost to the citizens. They've already paid their taxes, and this was built with tax dollars. So it lets you know where the courts are in any particular case.
Julie, can you repeat that again, at least the site where people can go to get that information?
Sure. If they go to the Charleston County Clerk's website and you click on Court Plus, it'll take you there, or you can do courtplus.org, and it'll take you there, and it's a quick tutorial on there if you're not confident to work the system, but it's very easy access, and again, it's free, and they can even select and track certain cases. If they don't want to filter through other cases, they can pick their cases that they want to track, and they'll receive alerts when something is filed in a case or something is scheduled.
And you know, you said something that was very valuable early on, talking about trying to explain some things to individuals. Sometimes it gets confused. What you've done, and you said that access to the information is directly valuable and important. So versus, you know, creating some confusion and understanding, it is important that people access the record so they have the facts. Directly in front of them.
Much like your medical records.
Right.
You want to know all the information before you make a decision about your medical history. Same thing with the court records.
Absolutely. That's a great
Except
way.
Except we're public. Medical files aren't, but we are public. Yes, sir.
That's a great way to put it, because, you know, the two, health and, you know, that component goes together. There's no question about that. And what are the one things you would like people to know about your office and our judicial communities?
Well, I want them to know that the courthouse belongs to the people and the citizens of Charleston County, and we are here in the clerk's office to assist them. Again, we realize that the majority of our visitors are put there at circumstances beyond their control, so it's often an intimidating and overwhelming experience, and we are there to assist them as much as we possibly can. But the caveat is that the state precludes us from giving legal advice, and I know that's frustrating for many people, because they can't often afford legal services, even though we have an outstanding bar here in Charleston County. But that's the one thing that we cannot give legal advice, but we will assist every citizen to the best of our ability to get them through this process.
You know, I did have a question, and I know you
sir.
Can answer. It was regarding the school system, and it says how many kids the court system are in the court system because of school infractions. Is that a statistic that you guys keep? And
I can get that for you. I don't have it with me today. Of course, it's been a little different with COVID.
Right, certainly.
But that is one court that we've kept going is the juvenile court. Consistently, we were doing remote hearings.
Okay.
And to keep that up, that we have not let that court fall behind at all.
Okay.
Because that's another time-sensitive, important thing to get to the youth and give them the assistance they need, and then the family members as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because you're right, getting to them early on is critically and vitally important.
And our family court judges recognize that and have done they're very focused on that. But that is the key. You are right. Early intervention.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I want to thank you so much, man, for taking time to come on the show this morning. Again,
I want to say
Happy Women's History Month to you. You are a history maker. And you are our clerk of courts here in Charleston County. So, the millions of listeners, let me introduce you to our clerk of courts, Julie Armstrong. Thank you for what you're doing. And I look forward to getting you back on again so you can give us updates on what's going on down there.
Yes, sir. And thank you for serving our citizens so well and keeping them informed. That is critical to our community. So God bless you for what you do.
Thank you very much, ma'am. You take care and you enjoy the rest of your morning.
Thank you, and be safe.
Yes,
you
ma'am.
As well. Thank you, sir. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
You guys heard from the clerk of courts, our clerk of courts, Ms. Julie Armstrong. She gave you information that allows you to understand the access and what is available down at the clerk of courts. That's a very critical role. We elected her, and you heard from her. So that's the important part, is that she's engaging, and we can get her on. And, you know, on the Jay Rice Show, it's easy to do your interviews here because, you know, unlike a typical Sunday morning service, you know, you can sit back and you could have your coffee, your tea, your mimosa. You know, you can eat breakfast like my brother Gil is doing right now. I know he is from 9 to 10 and listen to the Jay Rice Show. So you still get all that information, but you get to actually have drinks and you can even have a breakfast while you're listening to the show. So so continue to listen, and I'll continue to do as Julie Armstrong indicated, and I'll continue to try to bring you the more valuable information that I can possibly bring to you. We appreciate the Greater Goodwill Church and all the others that are having these vaccinations sites. They are important, and again, I just mentioned earlier that I did get mine the other day, and I'm fine, so you'll be fine, and let's all get vaccinated, and let's be mindful. I know I talked about this several months ago on my show, but I'm bringing it right back to your face. I'm going to tell you again. I said then that there would possibly be some issues associated with travel and activity. So if you have gotten a vaccination, you know they gave you a vaccination card. But more importantly, you also know they told you to keep it with you at all times. Why is that? 843-308-9564. If you've got vaccinated and they gave you that card and they told you to take it with you and keep it with you at all times, like it's some official records, why is that? Why did they tell you to do that? You do know why you carry your license. So let's call up. I want to hear your thoughts on that. We really need to know more about where that's headed. But ultimately, like I said, I always knew that there'd be a demand to have it with you at all times. All right, load up these lines. 843-308-9564 is the number. You're free to talk about anything that I'm talking about, anything that I may not have talked about. We got to pay attention to what's happening with that mayor in Atlanta. I mean, in Georgia, with all that PPE, mayor candidate in Atlanta, in Georgia, with all that money, and then the young man with the shooting. You're free to talk about that if you so choose. Tell you one of the things that I would certainly, and I want to have your opinion about as well. Because, you know, I'm not quite sure. And I want you to call me up and tell me I'm right, wrong, you know, where am I with this? Call me and let me know what community our group benefited from the statue that came down on Marion Square. If you're a group or you're a community and you benefited from that statue coming down, call up and let all of us, the millions of listeners on the Jay Rice Show, know how'd you benefit from that. What agreement did you establish? So let's talk about it, right? But my case in point in regards to that is a term called community benefit agreement. Become familiar with it. Why it works, how it works, and the benefits to it. Community benefit agreement. This legal binding agreement needs to become a part of our regular conversation. Look it up. Look it up for yourself. Community benefits agreement. It is a legal binding agreement, and it needs to become a part of our regular conversation. Here's why I say that. And more importantly, call me up and tell me what your thoughts are. And, you know, I consider myself to be on the PIT team, the process improvement team. I'm the only member of the team currently, but I think what will happen is, you know, as more people become familiar with the term community benefit agreement, there'll be others that'll be wanting to join the team. But right now, as it stands, I'm the only member of the process improvement team, the PIT team. And I know a lot of you probably want to become members, so because I'm on the team. But nonetheless, look it up. Community benefit agreement. This agreement is being used efficiently and very effectively in other cities, counties, states across America. We have a unique geographical location and with cultural assets that are loved by tourists from all over the world. They love this area. They love being here. They love everything that we have to offer. And we have rich cultural assets. I'm going to jump right in. I got a call. Call on the line. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Rice Show.
Good morning, John Wright.
Good morning.
This is Jaira's Place in Charlotte, North Carolina. How are you this morning?
I am well. Good morning, Jaira's Place in Charlotte, North Carolina. As I say on the Jay Rice Show, we got listeners from all over the world. But more importantly, let me make sure you know that Jaira's Place, as you heard earlier, is a sponsor. So it is a pleasure to have you on the line with me this morning. What's happening in Jaira's Place and what issue are you passionate about?
I am thankful for John Wright having been vaccinated. You are leading the way. I heard the minister earlier this morning speak in regards to vaccinations at the church, which is appropriate for this season and this time. So I want to thank you for your leadership in making sure that people not only know that this is a show that is informative, but you have led the way where vaccination is concerned. And I just wanted to take the time out this morning to thank you.
Well, I appreciate you calling up to thank me for leading that charge. And yes, I did get the vaccination. And I think you can remember, and you advocated then when Dr. Hepburn from MUSC was on with me, and I said, sir, I'm going to let you come in the studio and give me the vaccine on Facebook Live. I still don't know how to operate Facebook Live, so that's why it didn't happen. But I did get the vaccine, and it's so important. And, you know, I know Jaira Place. I know you got, well, how many employees you have?
42 employees at this time.
So what are you doing about making sure everybody there gets vaccinated?
Well, everybody with Jaira's Place at this present moment has been given the green light for vaccination. So have the individuals that they've served, the individuals and the families mm-hmm. that they're serving have been given the green light for vaccination at this time. So we're excited that our staff did not have to stop work at any time during the pandemic, but we're more excited that they are in the line being vaccinated and with the clients with disabilities that they serve as well.
Right, yeah, because, you know, you guys are essential workers, and I know you offer a valuable service to the state of North Carolina and to the Mecklenburg County, but more importantly, to the United States for what you're doing. And, you know, I was really glad that they finally got to 30 and under my age bracket. You know, so I was very excited. I was like, man, when are they going to get to 30 and under?
Right.
So they finally got to me. And so, mm-hmm. you know,
it's the 30 and under.
It's a pleasure to now have be vaccinated. So all my young folks in my age bracket, y'all can go out and get vaccinated because I did. But thank you so much for calling in. It is always a pleasure to talk with you. And you and Mr. Ed, y'all take care of yourself.
Thank you. You're absolutely welcome. Have an awesome and wonderful day.
Thank you. You heard from Jairus Place, 40-something employees. They're making sure they get vaccinated because they have interaction with the public. So this vaccinations is going to be an issue. And again, let's be clear. There are those that truly do not believe in getting the vaccine or you know, they're questioning what's in the vaccine and a whole bunch of other stuff. I understand that. But again, that's your right. That's what we call that freedom to choose. You know, being responsible for the decisions that you make, because ultimately it is your responsibility to decide whether you take that vaccine or not. Now, however, be mindful that not taking the vaccine, there could be things that you can be that you want to question later on. So make the right decision. It is for you to decide, but I made my decision now. So ultimately it's up to you to make yours. You know, last week on the show, I had Vince Matthews on the show, and Vince was talking about some really valuable policies around this voter suppression and this right to change some voting laws and here in South Carolina, as well as other states around America. And hopefully if Vince is listening, or somebody that knows Vince Matthews is listening, Attorney Matthews, give him a shout and a call and tell him that John Wright on the Jay Wright Show is talking about him. And I need him to call up because I think the people need to. I am going to get him back on the show again, but I need him to call up and at least give some information on where people can get in touch with him, or where they can look up that information that he was trying to share last week. I think it's important enough that he at least, if you want to get in touch with him, you want to know more about it, then there's a way for you to do that. I don't think last week when he was on that that I got him to share that information. So if you're listening, give us a call and please share that number. 843-308-9564 is the number. If you like, call up and let's hear from you about the issues that I'm discussing. Are you one of those that have got vaccinated and you have a vaccination card? What's your position on that? And what do you recommend it to people in the public? Let's get an understand about that local that community benefit agreement as well. I got a call online. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Wright Show.
Good morning, John. This is Vince. How you doing?
Vince, see, that's what's happening on the Jay Wright Show. I put it out there. I get a call. Vince, real quick, man, if you can, share the information on how people can get in touch with you. I got another call on the line. What way can they get in touch with you?
You can reach me by email at vince@scpronet.com, or you can reach out to me directly by cell at 843-801-9298.
Can you repeat that really quickly for me?
That's a cell at 843-801-9298, or by email at vince@scpronet.com.
Outstanding. And thank you for listening, man, because, you know, I talk about people on the Jay Wright Show, and I'm glad they're listening. So thank you for calling up, man, and we'll be in touch real soon.
Absolutely.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, callers, you that called me up and requested his information, I got it. I called him. I put a request out, and he called up. Got another caller online. You're going to jump right into that caller. Good morning, caller. Welcome, WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Wright Show.
Good morning, Mr. Jay Wright. Yes, I have had both of my shots. I got my card. Being a frontline worker, Mr. Jay Wright, I wear my mask.
That's right.
I have to continue to wear the mask because we got stupid folks out here. And those people that need to go get their shot. If you was walking by a tree and the tree fell on, oh, I should have went the other way. Well, then that same thing go with that shot. I should have went and got the shot.
That's funny.
That's all I got to say. Well, I know some all that don't want to get it, but I'm glad they did down to 40, 20. You know, the coming down now. We gonna make this over. We gonna get it over with. Thank you, Mr. J. Wright. You have a blessed Sunday.
All right. Thank you very much, ma'am. And that's a great analogy of the tree. Thank you. She said she got her shots in, so she is now part of this elite organization. That are now folks that have been vaccinated. And I'm going to say this about this vaccination. And you know me, I like to kind of keep it real as possible. There have been more people that have now vaccinated than had got COVID-19. What that means to you, then you take it for what it's worth. There are more people that have been vaccinated than got COVID-19. Why is that? You come to terms with that for yourself. I think that's important. You know, I think it's, as I go back and I mentioned that community benefit agreement that I was talking about earlier before the caller, you know, we're extremely vulnerable here in the Lowcountry, extremely vulnerable because, you know, we hear the common language, preserve and protect. But let's be clear. In order to preserve and protect, we need some legal agreements attached to that. Because if we don't get legal agreements attached to it, we're already extremely vulnerable to encroachment and overdevelopment. If we don't get legal agreements attached to that preserve and protect of our cultural assets, then 10 years from now, we'd be fighting this again. Or 20 years from now, it'll come up again. If we're not planning, essentially, from a community standpoint, for 30 years, then we're going to get outplanned. We got to plan ahead, and we got to look at legal agreements that truly protect and preserve these cultural assets that we have, because without the legal agreements, you will get chipped away at, and we're seeing it. We're vulnerable here. People want to come to the Lowcountry. So because they want to come to the Lowcountry, then it is our job to make sure we understand how can we protect these places. But more importantly, legal agreements has got to be the new way. But you look it up yourself, community benefit agreement. Understand it, become familiar with it. You know, this is just me. And, you know, I'm in my observation post, you know. I want to bring home, you know, what, you know, I ultimately always consider my migration back to the South. You know, I want to be 1,000% clear that progress is good. Don't be fooled. I think progress is good, and if we hadn't changed, I don't think that I would have wanted to come back home had we not changed. I'm not sure that I would have been wanted to come back to such a small place and a place that did not have all that we now have. Progress is good, and it's necessary. And it's how we do it that I ultimately say is important. And giving consideration to all those that have laid the path for for who we are today should be recognized, and there should be those state statutory languages put in place so that that does preserve and protect these communities, and it should be legal, and it should be, and it have to be legal. In fact, I believe had I not left home, and I stayed here, hell, excuse my language, I probably could have married one of my cousins. You know, we such a small place, but got a call on the line, so that allowed me to move on away from my nonsense. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the J. Wright Show.
Good morning, John Wright.
Good morning, Cousin M. You are that weekly caller. Everybody, Cousin M has something to say, and you need to be listening. She's listening every week. And where are you listening from, Cousin M?
Oh, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
I said, where are you listening from?
I'm listening from North Carolina.
Outstanding. Cousin M is a listener from North Carolina. What are your thoughts on anything I discussed this morning? Because I know you got some thoughts, and okay. I really appreciate the weekly call.
Yes, thank you, Cousin Johnny. I always have something to say. But anyway, I have something to say about the attacks on Asian people.
Okay.
I think that is so horrible that that's happening to them. And I really feel that if there's going to be any bill passed against attacks, it needs to be passed amongst people of color, non-white people.
Okay.
Because those are the people that seem to get attacked. Okay. Our people, black Indian people, we've been attacked for centuries. So they need to pass a bill that will protect non-white people. That's my opinion.
Okay. And you're entitled to that. I mean, you know, you've been around long enough to see enough. And the important thing about it, what you said, is that that's your opinion, you know, because we all share different opinions, right, different views, because that's the big, huge democracy in the world that we live in. Ironically, if we all agreed, this would not be a great place to live. So different opinions and different views are critically important to the process. We have to have different opinions and different views, because that's the only way we can get to some substance, right?
Yes.
Because, like you said, now
these
things that you're saying, you obviously have a reason for mentioning why these are communities and people that should be given consideration. So the listening audience, we have to appreciate that.
Right. Now, another thing, too, they're talking about this guy that did the shooting. I think he's just totally out of his mind. They want to say that it has something to do with him being sex addicted or whatever. No, I think that's racism, what he did. You know, let's be clear.
Right.
Because you're targeting a group of people, a certain group of people.
You know, Emma, I'm glad you mentioned that, because all along I had always questioned, and I didn't necessarily use it in my show preparation to decide whether to coin it racism versus sexism, because they're both on the table, of course. And, you know, but what I said early on in my monologue was that my concern is a 4-hour drive to commit such a heinous act. You drove 4 hours.
Oh.
And if you have a problem with, if it's a sexism issue, there's a lot of women along the way that could have been victims.
Right.
You know, why 4-hour drive? That's a 4-hour drive. There's a lot of time. That's a lot of time to think about, you know, what you're doing and where you're going.
Right.
You know, and in fact, what you're going to do. I just think, you know, in those situations, what we need to do is we need to become a little more deep rooted and look, you know, look from within to see who else may have been a part of that conversation. I've been aware that this is something that he intended to do, because the more people that that we can find that were a part, are conspired with him, then the better off we'll be. Because, you know, that's I questioned again all along, sexism, racism, the whole components of this issue. And I thank you so much for calling up.
Oh, you're welcome. And you have a wonderful day, and I will talk to you later.
Absolutely. I know you will talk to me next week.
Yes. And thank you for your show always.
All right. Thank you so much, Cousin
M. To you. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye.
That's my that's my weekly cousin, my cousin Emily, that calls up from, I think she's up almost near Virginia in North Carolina somewhere, a little small country area. I really appreciate her calling up every week and being a part of the show. It's like I put the topics out there, and then here come my cousin Emily. She wanna chime in on it. So you have that right as well, and that's what this show was designed for, not so much for how I see this thing or how I view this thing. Now, you know, I am the host. I am Jay Wright. I do get a chance to create the conversation and dialogue. But I also open it up to allow you, if you did not, if it's something I did not talk about that may be important to you, then I give you that opportunity to call up and be a part of that or participate and, you know, make me aware of something that I'm just simply not aware of. Make sure, again, I mentioned earlier, I'd like to make sure someone chime in on this House Bill 99 that's going to allow teachers have the rights to have guns in school. It's before Congress. It's going to become come a law. And if it does become a law, you know, it's a part of the Secure Communities and Safe School Acts. How do you feel about teachers having firearm in the school? And 843-308-9564, I like your opinion about it. But while I wait on someone, while someone calls up to give me their opinion about teachers and guns in school, let me give you mine. I'm all for it. I'm all for the guns in school. I'm all for the firing squad. I may be a little special, right? You know, teachers having a gun in school means that you, the little terrorist that plans to run up in a school and just start shooting and blazing everybody. My idea and my theory to ward that off is we hear it every time. Every time after one of these incidents happen, what do we hear? If only someone had a gun. If only someone had a gun. We hear it every time, right? So now, I believe that teachers with a gun in school could be a huge benefit because it could alter and or change that terrorist thinking, because it's easy to fire at somebody, but it may not, part of their plan and preparation may not have been to take up a defensive position or be forced to take a defensive posture or defensive position by being fired back at, you know, while they're firing, somebody's firing back at them. Maybe they don't have a strategy, and maybe they don't have a defensive strategy for to determine, wow, I'm being fired upon. I got to take a defensive posture. I got to stop firing, whatever the case may be. So I'm all for not being caught up in crosshairs and not having no alternative. So teachers having guns in school, your thoughts. I'd like to know what you think. Am I a little special to think that's where we now have come to? We've seen enough school shootings to decide whether or not teachers should have that right. I think that, you know, when you got a concealed weapon and permit, or even in my case, you're a military man and you've served your country for a career and you feel like you're a public servant the rest of your life, you should have that right. If you go up into Walgreens and somebody walk in there and started shooting, to make them take a defense position, you know, because of your training allows you to know that, okay, well, there's a threat. You try to engage it if you know how to. So I don't think that teachers having guns in school and that House Bill 99, the Secure Communities and Safe School Acts, I think that's all appropriate. Secure communities. Remember that part. That's where I'm at. And that's what I'm talking about, the Walgreens piece and all those other stuff. Secure communities. That's in that act. And that's a part of that House Bill 99. So it extends beyond just teachers having guns in school. So there's additional things in there. But you read it yourself. Become familiar with it, because it is a part of something that we'll see soon. And if you don't think that teachers should have guns in school, then maybe maybe you have an opinion and you like to share it with me. I want to make sure I reiterate that the person that got those the PPE, I mean, I'm sorry, the PPP, it was not a mayor, but it was a mayor candidate in Georgia. So just look that story up, become familiar with it, and just look at that misappropriation. And that's what it all boils down to with that story. Misappropriation and, you know, taking advantage of taxpayers' monies in a trying time to promote themselves. And that's just tragic. And as we hear more about, you know, those misappropriations of PPE money, then that's it's going to only, you know, make everybody mad, because we know what turmoil that we've been dealing with over the last year and a half. If you got your vaccination, give me a call. I want to hear from you. Welcome to the club. Like the caller said earlier, if a tree falls on you, she was using that analogy. So call up. Tell me why you're not going to get vaccinated if you don't agree, if you don't think that if you don't think that the vaccination is good for you, or you got some questions about it. Just let's talk about it. I don't want to think that I know whether what's good for you, but I do want to think that I can open up the lines and you can talk about what you think. But nonetheless, I also want to know, and I firmly believe that that shooting in Atlanta, I think that had more to do with Atlanta being in a national spotlight than it did with a 4-hour drive for sexual addiction. I think just like he chose Atlanta, Dylan chose Charleston, and so many others, I can name them, chose those destinations or locations for their own reason, and I'm sure they planned out their, you know, these attacks. It'd be great for them to stop. It'd be great for us to look up and those things are no longer happening, but I just don't see that being the case. In fact, I think, you know, the worst things that happen is the media side gives it so much attention. That individual name is said so many times that the media helped create copycats. So, in fact, it can be said, and I'm the media as well, and I'm talking about it. But what I am talking about is the fact that there are people out there that listen to everything that's being said about what he did and how he did it, and then they're looking for to be copycats and to do it bigger and better. And so I think, you know, we might be considered somewhat accomplice as well. But I guess, you know, the important thing is we got to give the information to the people. I want to thank you on my way out the door. It is that time. It is always a pleasure to come on, Ask You Paint and Body Shop, Dorothy's Funeral Home, F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport, VIP Bistro, 616 Meeting Street, Gyrus Place, you heard from them earlier, Johnson Hall Funeral Home, Hannibal's Kitchen, Family Seafood Market, the Check Master, Check Cashing on Rivers Avenue. I want to thank you. Thank the Chronicle, the only black press here in Charleston area, dating back to 71, for being a part of this. Until next week, next Sunday morning, you stay in peace.
Thank you for allowing me to see myself the way you see me.